Go to Mark chapter 10, and I'm still probably considered a young preacher. I surrendered. It's been 14 years ago, December 31st, I surrendered in this pulpit. I was saved right over there. Some great things have happened to me in this church. And so it's a great honor to have an opportunity to preach to you young folks. But I decided as a young preacher that somebody gets up and preaches, oh, that's on the same chapter, I've got to get something new. God told me to preach His message. I don't care if it's the same points He gave Brother Terrence. If God told me to preach it, then He wanted to preach, then He didn't do something different, so I'm going to preach this. Now, back in April, I started having some eye problems. And I went down to the doctor and got me some glasses. And I take them off when I preach because I preach in a lot of Baptist churches. And I don't like their faces. So I figured, take your glasses off, and you don't know if they're smiling or frowning. Now, when I got them, the lady asked me, she said, well, how long you been having problems? And seriously, I've been having problems seeing since 1992. Some of y'all weren't even born in 1992. I got them, and I went home, and I mean, I could see street signs now. I could see everything. I walked in, and I looked at my wife, and I said, man, you're more beautiful than I thought. So she decided to run down and get glasses. And I'm thinking, she puts them glasses on, she's going to find out what kind of man she got. She put them on and she said, man, you're fatter than I thought. And anyway, glasses work. Amen. All right, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. If you were here last night, you said, well, you preached that last night. Well, maybe I can give you something a little bit different. The Bible says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running and knelt to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life or inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, while thou callest me good, there is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Now, I'm going to have somebody come up to me after church and tell me this, so I'm going to go ahead, before you rebuke me, he didn't list all the Ten Commandments. I was in a Christian school in Louisiana with 500 kids. And I stood up and preached this message, and I asked the question to these Christian kids, how many Ten Commandments were they? And Brother Terrence, one of them asked me, could they look in the Bible? There was 10 commandments. All right, y'all got that. I figured y'all wouldn't be like them Louisiana folks. Then he said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. He answered and said unto them, master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, behold him, loved him. Now, when somebody loves you, they're going to tell you the truth. Look what it says. Loved him. And said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Father, help us this morning. Lord, we thank you for all the message we heard, the singing. Now, Lord, this is your message. I'm your messenger. Lord, I can't get results, but Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost now will begin to deal. Lord, I know you've already dealt with young people, you've dealt with my heart. And so, Lord, I know you've dealt with folks. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I went to China in July. And I didn't want to go to China. I don't like Chinese food. I'm sorry. You go to Miss Karen's house and she'll feed you a Chinese breakfast. Amen. Went one time to her house, and I was expecting eggs and bacon, and we get up, and there's rice. Wow. Rice, amen. Amen. Bradley, you can go over there and eat my rice next time you're at their house. But the Lord began to deal with me after something happened. I'm not going to get into that right now. And He gave me this message. And I don't really have a title for the message, but I want to bring out some things about this. And then I'm going to tell you what happened to us in China, most of you know. But I want to look at three things out of this passage of Scripture. And I want you to hang with me. Now, I'm going to walk around because I like walking around. And but the first thing we want to look at this morning is this young man's motive. What was his motive? Look at verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running and knelt to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to that I may have eternal life?" I think that's a good motive. I think this morning that hopefully every one of you had that motive that you want to get in. Amen. I tell you, thank God I got in. And my mama didn't tell me I got in, and my daddy didn't tell me I got in. The Holy Spirit told me I got in when I knelt right over there and I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin. I know repentance is a lost doctrine, but I repented of my sins. Most of you kids in here, amen, I don't know, it scares me some of your salvation. Because that ain't the same salvation I got. I mean, when I got saved, things had to go in my life. And today, hey, when kids get saved, nothing goes. Amen, nothing goes. Y'all say amen, I don't preach for 3 hours. Yeah, I thought that would work. I was at a church one time and said, "If you don't amen me, I'm going to preach for 3 hours." Every time I took a breath, amen, preacher, amen, amen, amen. So y'all help me, amen. Alright, so we got, and you notice they put the fat man up before lunch. That was a, you know what that was about. They said he ain't going to go long, he's hungry. Alright, so we want to look at his motive. First of all, I want to look at pure motive. I want you to just, we don't have time for you to turn there, but just remember this. In John chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Verse number 3, I read verse 1 and 2. Verse number 3, watch what Jesus answered. What is he answering? He didn't ask the question. Nicodemus didn't come to the Lord and say, "Hey, Lord, I want to be saved." You know what the Lord knew? He knew his motive. He knew the reason he was coming to God. He knew that Nicodemus was searching for something. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's probably some young people in here this morning and some adults. Your motive is pure. But I want to ask you a question. Why do you do what you do? Why do you go to church? Why do you come to youth rallies? Why do you come to the altar? What is your motive this morning? Well, that's just, hey, in the South, man, that's just what we've always done. Granddaddy took us to church, and grandmama took us to church, and daddy took us to church, and daddy was a deacon. I ain't preaching to your daddy, and I ain't preaching to your mama. I'm preaching to you this morning. What is your motive? Why do you do what you do? Why are you here? Because I just wanted to have a good time. Is your motive pure this morning? Is it pure? Is it pure? I'm going to go ahead and answer it for some of you. It ain't. Some of you come because you like somebody. That's why I'm here, preacher. I get to text him or I get to text her and now I can see her. It don't matter. Where I preach, nobody amens me anyway, so amen. What is your motive? Why are you here? Is it pure? I come to get help from the Lord. You have?
Amen.
Boy, there ain't been a lot of people wanting to move to the altar. There ain't a lot of people having a pure motive. Wonder what your motive is this morning. That young man came to the Lord, I believe all my heart, his motive was pure. He didn't want to die and go to hell. What's your motive this morning? What do you do? Is it pure? Jesus answered him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see." See, some of y'all are leaving on, "Oh, some preacher patted me on the back." I got news for you. I have people tell me all the time, "Preacher, I don't know when I got saved. I don't know the date, and I don't know the time." Don't have a problem with that. Where I got a problem is when they say, "I don't know where I was at." You're telling me the greatest and the biggest event that ever can happen in your life, and you don't know where you were when you got born again and washed in the blood? My friend, I'll tell you where I was. I was right there, and Brother Jay Wyman took a Bible and showed me how to get born again, and with my mouth I confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, and lo and behold, He saved me, and I got born again, and I got washed in the blood. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, some of your motives are not pure. Well, what kind of motives do I have? Thank you for asking. Dr. Phil will tell you. I'll tell you what some of your motives are. They're personal. I work with juvenile delinquents. And I'll tell you, the majority of the juvenile delinquents, the reason they come to God is they want out of jail. The reason that you do what you do is you want mama off your back. You want the preacher off your back. You're tired of being preached to, so you'll just be the little angel that sits on the front pew. Amen. There's a man in the Bible, his motive was personal. He was dying on a cross. One was on the right, one was on the left. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 23, and I'm just paraphrasing this, he began to rebuke the Lord, and he began to mock Him and say, "Hey Lord, if Thou truly is the Son of God, come off the cross and save us and save Thyself." I'm going to go on record and tell you, I don't believe if God had got that thief off the cross, he would have ever done nothing for Jesus. I don't think he had ever done nothing for Jesus, because that man didn't want to look at Jesus for who he was. He just was looking for a way out. Amen. Is this hard to preach? Okay, I was going to preach it whether you liked it or not. Amen. Personal. You know, a lot of people just run into church. "I need help. I need help." This is a good place to get help. How many of you adults pray this? "God, if you get me out of this, I'll be in church every time the door's open, dear God. I won't miss a service." And when God got you out of it, my friend, we couldn't find you with a search warrant. Personal. Personal motives. So that's notice. I like this one. This might not apply to some of you, but I want to preach it anyway. Then there's people that's got political motives for coming to Jesus. Everybody that runs for office is saved. Dear God, they've taught a Sunday school class for 30 years. I mean, you would think these people have been helping God out all across America. If that is the case, why in God's name did we repeal "Don't Tell and Ask"? Amen. If for God's reason, why can't a kid take a Bible to the public school? Which you can, by the way. Amen. But they say you can't. If we live in a Christian nation. But you know, people use the church for political reasons. They come into church, and big churches, they come in just to find clients for their business. Amen. Well, that's just true. Maybe you come for political reasons. It's kind of like camp. We can find out the first day who wants to be the king and queen of camp. They're political. You know what you are? You're a punk. Amen. The ones that want to be the kings are normally the punks. Amen? And they're also the pretty boys. The ones that have their hair, got 5 gallons worth of gel in their hair. You better hope nobody strikes a match around them. Bless God, they're going to blow up. Amen. And then you got the girls that are the pre-Madonnas. Political. Using the youth group. Thugs running the youth group. And you know what is sad? The young people that are serving God and living for God, they just stay in the corner. And you let the punks and the prima donnas and the pretty boys run the youth group. I'm telling you something. Some of you need to stand up and say, "We're going to run the youth group, the ones that live right, and we ain't going to put up with no punks running the youth group." Man, we ought to have a desire for every young person to stand up and say, "I'm going to be the one that's going to be a leader." Amen. And you young men, it's a shame that the girls are leading the youth groups. Amen. Ought to be a shame. I ain't doubting you young, but God's put something in a man to lead. Well, we're just going to be political, and we're just going to run the youth group like a gang of thugs. And then Brother Endicott can tell you, then they got this code of silence. Don't break the code. You break the code. And you know why you won't break the code? Because they got something on you. And if they tell you tell on them, then they're going to tell on you, and then the pastor's going to get everybody. I'd just rather the pastor find out about it, get my heart right with God, and say, I ain't running with you no more. What's your motive? What's your motive this morning? What's your motive this morning? I'm tired of youth groups being run by the thugs. I'm sorry I preached to juveniles. That's the only language I got. Hey, one time, hey, brother, I tell you, preaching juvenile is totally different. One day I got up and I said, all right, how many of you kids in here got convictions? Dear God, they all stood up. Man, I said, dear God, these kids I can help. I said, tell me your conviction. Preacher, I'm in here for armed robbery. No, not that kind of conviction. I'm talking about motive this morning. What is your motive? Why do you come? Because mama makes me come. Guess what? 18, mama might not make you come no more. He's preaching on it. 18, mama ain't going to make you. Hey, listen. If you're 13, 14 years old, mama really ain't making you do nothing. You're doing what you want to in your heart. You come in, you sit on the pew, and we can't get God moving because you're wicked as the devil. But you're in church. And boy, you got a smile on your face. And dear God, you might even sing a special today.
Amen.
Amen. Not you, Bradley. Hey, I like Brother Bradley. At least he helps the preaching. Some of y'all over there, oh, shut up, oldie preacher. Amen. 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 Hey, what's your motive this morning? Is it a pure motive? Is it a personal motive? Is it political? All right, let's look at number two. We looked at his motive. Now, let's look at his morality for just a minute. Can we look at that morality? Look at verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, why thou callest me good? There is none good. One, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Let's play a game.
Okay.
All right. How many young people can stand up and say you've observed every one of those? Stand up. Stand up. You've honored your father and mother. You haven't defrauded nobody. Dear God, you ain't even cheated on your income tax. I want you to stand up. Don't you find his morality pretty remarkable? That's remarkable. And I'm telling you, there's some young people in here, and this is not a downward thing I'm saying. I find your morality pretty remarkable.
Come on.
Because I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be here when I was your age. See, I got saved at 27 years old. I know what it is, Brother Jimbo, for your wife to take her ring off and throw it in your face. I know what it is for her to pack up the car and take your boy. You get mad at the preacher because he preaches on sin and say, stay away from it. You want to go through that? You want to go through that? You want to see your wife leave you? You want to see your wife tell you she never wants to see you again? She hates you? You want to go through that? You want to go through that? Keep living the way you're living. Keep running the motives you keep doing. That's what you're going to have. You're going to have a life of hell. And then you're going to crumble back in the church when you're 27, 28 years old. Hey, before you got out of church, you didn't know what a cigarette was. You ain't never tasted a beer. You don't know nothing about dope. And then you crumble back in here about 27 years old. Your life's in a wreck. And you get up in some youth rally and you raise your hand because none of the kids will. I want to tell you, hey, you don't have to have that life and that testimony. You don't have to live. I've got a testimony of a fool. I don't have the testimony that brother's got. I don't have the testimony Brother Tim's got. I've got a testimony of a fool, and I'm ashamed of it. Amen. How come when we ask for testimonies None of you clean little girls or clean little boys ever raise your hand and say, thank God I was raised in church. You know, we always put on the stage the ones that's messed their life up. I'm telling you, the best testimony you can have is, I don't know what you're preaching about, preacher. I don't know where I'm going, preacher. I've never done that. Boy, I think that morality is pretty remarkable. Woo, that's remarkable. But I'm going to tell you something else about morality. This hits 99% of you. A lot of it's rehearsed. Oh, let me... Y'all been to camp? You've seen God fall in camp. You've seen the Holy Spirit move around. You've seen God do things that other kids don't have a clue about. And boy, you run to an altar and you stay up there till the song's over. When's the last time you got on your face and say, hey, getting up, God, till you do something? Boy, every year at youth rally, boy, we preach our hearts out and we beg and plead. And boy, I tell you, it's like y'all just sit here and like a knot on a log and don't do nothing. And these preachers preach their heart out and parents are at home and they're praying and some of them's past it. And you're going to sit there in your rebellion and you're going to rehearse your reality and you're going to come to an altar because that's what you're supposed to do. You're masters of manipulation. You know how to manipulate mom and dad. You know how to manipulate the preacher. But there's one person you ain't manipulating, and it's the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is knocking on some of your hearts, and He's telling you you need to get right with God, and you need to do something for God. And there you sit with your remarkable reality and say, hey, God, look how good I am. I ain't doping. I ain't smoking. I ain't out there running the roads. But there was a Pharisee and a publican, same situation. And that Pharisee says, I fast this many times a week. Thank God I ain't like them. Hey, I'm telling you, my friend, God looked at that publican. He said, smote his breast, said, I'm just a sinner. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, some of you do the same thing. Boy, you throw your morality up at God and say, look at me. Look at my morality. I'm going to tell you, a lot of you just live behind a mask. You do what you want to. I love you. I tell girls that I preach, and I preach all over the state of Alabama. And I tell them, you're one mistake from hearing me every Sunday. So if you don't like me now, bless God, you ain't, because I preach a lot harder in there. Amen. I'm talking about its motive. I'm talking about its morality. Well, what's the problem? I mean, preacher, he said it last night. What's the problem? Here's the problem, and I'm almost through. He didn't like the message. What was the message? Keep the commandments? He didn't like the message. And you know what your problem is? You don't like the message either. We don't like the message. We don't like the message when our preacher gets up and he preaches to us. We don't like it. I like Brother Tim Spates. But there are people in his church that don't like him because of the message. I like Brother Tim Ellis. I don't know why people get mad at him, but Brother Daniel will tell you they can. You know what the problem is? They don't like the message. I like my pastor.
Amen.
I hope he still likes me. Do you know what our problem in our church is? A lot of people don't like the message.
Amen.
Brother Andrew, don't like the message. What was the message? Oh God, I got to sell everything I got.
Amen.
No. Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. You know what I found, Brother Andrew? If I'm toting the cross, I can't worry about what everybody else is doing.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
I got these people always trying to criticize everything I do. I had one guy say, well, I was down there preaching at the gym, but I'll do it this way. I said, well, come on down there. I need help.
Amen.
He said, well, when is it? I said, it's on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Oh, I got to take a nap on Sunday. Then shut up.
Amen.
Hey man, I don't need that kind of help.
Right.
I'm not going to tell my pastor how to run a church. I ain't got no clue.
Right.
I'm not going to tell a Navajo preacher, even though he needs to tell me something, getting $50. I can't get over that. Hey, I could buy my in-law something with that kind of money. He didn't like the message. What was the message? You got to die. You got to die. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, none of you want to die. There ain't one person in here that got up this morning, Brother Terrence, said, I can't wait to die. Woo! The Grim Reaper's coming tonight. I'm going to go pick out what I'm going to wear today. I mean, I want this kind of... No. Problem is, we ain't dying. And you know what, kids? You should have. I've been in church. I was in a church. This was so funny. I said, there ain't nobody in this church that want to die. All of them stood up. I do. Guess what happened in a month? Their church split. Nobody was dying there. They were running their mouths. You know why? You know what the problem is with you young people? Maybe Brother Charlie can correct me, and I wished he would. We don't ever see no young men surrender to preach no more. We don't see no young men surrendering life to the foreign field, Bishop Hill. You know who we see more than we do men, young ladies? They'll just go do it because y'all are too starved to do it. I ain't going to give up my Nintendo. I'm on the fifth level of Zelda. I mean, I can't go to the mission field. They might not have power at the mission field. How am I going to reach the Super Bowl in Madden 2011?
Come on.
I'll die, preacher. No, you won't. Because if I said, how many of you would lay your cell phones on this altar? Not one of you would.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'll die for Christ. No, you can't even turn your cell phone off in church.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll die for Christ. Oh, I'm following Christ. Yeah, but Christ ain't following you to the movies either. I mean, Christ ain't going to... You say, you preach against the movies? Yes, I do. You know why? Because when I got saved, God said, you can't go to the movies no more. Well, I'm just going to see Toy Story 3. What's wrong with that? Well, there's a rated R movie in there. And I could just imagine the closest theater is over there in Trustful, where Brother Endicott hangs out. I could just see me going to Toy Story. And Brother Thad and their youth group's out passing out tracks, and here I come out of the movie theater. I wonder what Brother Endicott's going to think about me. Well, he's a hypocrite.
Amen.
You ain't going to die. You're not going to die. And I don't expect nobody to come to this altar. Because I want, if you come to the altar, I don't want you to come because that's what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
If I could just get one young person to lay, if God could just let me see one young person lay their life on this altar and leave it on that altar. You know what I did 8 years ago today? I stood right there. You know what I told the kids? I quoted this verse. I beseech you now, poor brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me? You're a hypocrite. That was 8 years ago this weekend. What are you talking about, preacher? He done told me to go full time, but I couldn't let go.
Come on.
And I stood right there, and he said, you're a hypocrite. Don't ask them to do something you're not willing to do. And I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ ain't asking you to do something He ain't already done. He picked up a cross. You know what I done? Sunday, I went to talk to my pastor. You know what he done? He did not tell me to go full time in the ministry. He's never called me to preach. He's never told me anything when it comes to the will of God for me in my life. This is what he said. I don't know what he's telling you to do, but you better do it. So I said, well, let me go ask somebody else. I talked to three different men, and you know what all three of them did? Said, we don't know what God's telling you to do, but you better do it. So you know what I did? This was Saturday. Sunday, I walked in. My wife was taking a nap, dreaming about that $50 a day. I mean, she was snoozing. I've been in that job for 16 and a half years. Only full-time job I've ever known. You know, I walked in, I said, Tanya, Lord's told me to go full-time. And she roused up and said, huh? I said, He's told me to go full-time. She laughed and went back to sleep. I'm not lying. I walked in Monday morning. I went to my boss. And by the way, I skipped the company meeting that they told me if I didn't come, they were going to fire me. I said, well, fire away, because we got a youth thing at the church, and I'm going to youth thing. He said, well, you ain't going to get your bonus. So what? You said, that's extreme, preacher. Yeah, I was extreme the other way. I walked in and told my boss. He laughed at me. Then a lady, it got around. I mean, Scott's leaving the company. It's like a biggest joke. They said, I'd die there. He's leaving the company. Lady pulled me to the side. She said, I just heard you're leaving the company. And you're going to go preach to juveniles. What are you thinking? She said, you're not going to get rich doing that. I said, I'm a Navajo. I get $50. No. You know what I told her, brother? I told her this. Said, I hate to break it to you. I've been here 16 years and I ain't got rich doing this. So I'm going to go try to find some little kid that needs Jesus. I'm going to try some little kid that ain't got no hope. And I'm going to try to give them hope. And I'm going to try to see if God will save them. Amen. And by the grace of God, that's been 8 years ago. And I tell you, I've gained weight. I've got a bigger house. I've got a bigger car. Amen. And why? Because it's the blessings of God. And when you decide to die, God lets you live. Sorry I spit on you. Amen. Now, I won't tell this story and I'll quit. He said, I'm going to tell it and I'll quit.
Come on.
Now, y'all going to listen?
Fire.
I went to China in July. Why'd you go to China? I went to China because Brother Jimmy Chang, some of y'all know him, asked me to come. I said, okay, and we raised the money. I'm going to tell you something else God done. You know how much our tickets were?
What?
$8,000.
Wow.
And we had 1,000 in June.
Amen.
1,000 in June, Brother Terrence. And me as the man of great faith. The man that is the pillar of the household. The man that knows God's going to provide. I said, where are we going to get the money? My wife said, it ain't July yet. Next thing we know, God started sending the money in. Then I said, I guess I got to go. So me, my wife, and Corey, Miss Lisa Smith went. We got over there. Boy, as soon as we got to Zhengzhou, that's where Brother Jimmy is, he picked us up at the train station. He's excited. Man, that man is excited. Woo, Brother Justin, Brother Justin, you made it to China. He was excited. I wasn't excited, but he was. We get in the car, and Brother Jimmy don't do nothing without praying. He tapped me on the leg and said, Brother Justice, put seatbelt on. And I know why he told me to put seatbelt on in China. You wear seatbelt in China. He prayed. Then he started putting me under conviction. We come up to a red light and the guy runs the red light. He said, this is 11:30 at night. He said, Brother Justice, that's a red light. I said, I know, we have America. He said, Brother Justice, he ran red light, no police. But God saw him. Uh-oh. I better check my rehearsed morality right now.
Amen.
Then we get there. The people started coming. When them ladies walked in the room, it's like they brought God with them. Then they brought a little crippled woman in there. That little crippled woman has led thousands of Chinese people to the Lord, crippled. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't like my Christianity. I don't like it. Then he said, you can't come to church. Policemen know you're here. He said, but we'll go up to camp. This was Sunday. We didn't go to church. Corey went. Where's Corey at? Corey went. Corey's called to China. He went. He said, he stood up in that church. God's called me here. Kids would come to him and say, please hurry back. China needs God. Monday, we leave for camp. We're on three buses crammed. I mean, you say Mexicans can get some folks in? Dear God, Chinese can too. I don't know how. I mean, we had half the Red Army in there. They get all in that bus. Here we go. By the way, we had a 4-hour delay. I wonder how many of you, when you go to camp, you had a 4-hour delay, all you'd be doing is complaining. It's hot out here. I don't have no self-seat. I'm talking, these are the boys. Bug text me. Bug text me. I'm just talking about the boy. I ain't preaching to the girls yet. My hair's standing up. Sit out there for 4 hours waiting on the Chinese people that don't take instructions right, waiting on them to get us to camp. We finally get to camp. And we go up a mountain. And when I thought Jimmy said camp in the mountain, I'm thinking Gatlinburg. I'm thinking Fudge, Pigeon Forge. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Surely, I'm going to get some fudge.
Amen.
No, we get up on top of the mountain and we're hanging off the mountain. I got pictures. I'll show them. We're hanging off the mountain and I'm thinking, Jimmy, you better rock God. Because if this bus goes over, I'm going to be upset. We get up to the top and Brother Jimmy says, unload. We unload. He said, now we got to walk 2 miles. Did I get in the will of God here? He said, then he rescued me. He said, we bring Jeep for you. Because he said, donkey can't carry you. Now, get there Monday. They preach in Chinese. What they preach, I ain't got a clue. I kept looking, and we had this lady. She, bless her heart, she was trying her best. I didn't know what she was saying. Brother Jim is just a firing her down, man. I'm thinking, man, it must be good. I looked at Miss Lisa, I don't know what they said, but everybody liked it. We got dismissed. He said, Brother Justice, come talk to a communist. I said, a communist? He said, yeah, we brought a communist with us. I said, man, y'all are just pushing the envelope here. I went and talked to a communist. We had a discussion through a translator for about 30 minutes how he's amazed at the freedoms that we just throw away. Amen. Conviction. Tuesday morning, we're laying on what's supposed to be a bed. You see this right here? That's softer than a bed over there. 5:30 in the morning, I just got asleep. I hear something. It's all these Chinese teenagers and leaders, 125 of them, done got up, went to the meeting, and started praying. And this is with my alarm clock, How Great Thou Art in Chinese. Man, I jump up. Man, we done missed the meeting. Donnie said, it's only 5:30. Okay, go back to bed. Tuesday morning, I'm almost through. Tuesday morning, never preach through a translator. Hey, redneck don't translate in Chinese. I'll go ahead and tell you. Because I made a mistake of saying fixing. We fixing to do this? That lady kept looking at me. Well, these are the first words I said through a translator. Imagine your God, your life without God. And she didn't say nothing. And I'm trying to be courteous. You know what was happening? Tears were running down her face. When I said that, not one of you thought, what would my life be without God? Because we're just spoiled. We've always had Him. She began to cry. And she got out. Imagine your life without Christ. Teenagers were sitting in there, tears running down her face. I preached that day. Things were going great, and then Wednesday rolls around. I get up, I'm excited, Brother Tim. I mean, I'm ready to get to that translator. I get up, and my wife sings. She sings How Deep the Father's Love. Don't know what she sung, but they sit there and wept. They come up, I get my message out, I start preaching. And I preached on this thought out of Daniel chapter 3, Our God. You know how humbling it is to sit there and tell Chinese to serve God? I sat there. And my first thing was, there was a declaration. I preached that point. The translator, next thing was confrontation. When I said confrontation, in walked 40 policemen and surrounded the room. They began to yell at me. I don't know what they were saying. They were yelling at me. They ripped my Bible out of my hand. They lined up against the wall. And I sat there in stunned amazement. We sat there for 15 minutes and I looked at those kids. They sat there silently. A couple of kids, little tears were running down their face. Man, I didn't know what to do. Some of you preachers in here say, "Bless God, I ain't got a clue what to do." Then they begin to sing this song. Then the rest of them begin to sing. And the rest of them begin to sing. You know what they were telling? "We've already died. So government, you do what you want to. But we're going to follow Jesus. If it costs us our lives, if it costs us our families, if we never see mom and dad again, we're going to serve God."
Amen.
The whole room began to break out. Hymn after hymn after hymn. And you know, I hadn't got to my last point of that message. You know what my last point was? Manifestation. You know who stepped in that room? The man I was going to preach about, the fourth man, stepped in that room. And he stepped in that room. I'm telling you, I think about it now, and I think about what God does. He stepped in that room and said, "I'm here, and I got to meet the friend that I've been preaching about all these years. I got to meet the man that said he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." So why in God's name will American kids not serve God? Because you're spoiled. And you won't give your lives to God. Because you think you're worth something. You ain't worth nothing. Jesus Christ died on the cross for a bunch of nobodies. And the least we can do is serve Him. So I ask you this in closing. Who's going to die? Which one of you young people want to die today? Why won't you die? You know what he did? You know what they did after that, son? They took me to jail. They took me to jail. They took my wife to jail. They took Corey to jail. But you know what? They let us go. You know what they did to those Chinese? They put them in prison. Kids your age. So who's going to die? Don't come if you're not willing to die. But he'll be a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. When I came back, brother, I said, "I'm ashamed of my Christianity. And I don't want to line up with them Chinese Christians at the judgment seat of Christ." And guys, guess what? They're your peers. And you're going to line up next to them. What if God put you next to one of them? "Oh, I would have served God, but I couldn't put down my cell phone." You look at this Chinese kid that's been in jail. What will your answer be? "Brother Matt, I'm through." What will your answer be? Please don't come if you don't want to die. We're looking for some dead young people this morning that wants to die. That wants to die. Maybe you're lost. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're already dead, but you're dead in trespasses and sin. The only way you can die for Christ is you've got to let Him die for you, which He's already done. And you receive what He done on Calvary's cross. And if you'll do that and ask God to come in your heart, then say, "Lord, let me die for You. Let me bear a cross for You." Anybody else? Anybody else want to die? How about you adults?